And let's read verses 8 and 9. Just want to share some things here tonight. It's possibly more of a teaching mode, but I just felt impressed to share this tonight. I've been contemplating it several days, and the Lord just said, tonight's the night. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 8 says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all men, verse number 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Amen. You may be seated again this evening. Thank you for standing for the reading of these portions of God's Word. I want to preach to us tonight, Mystery Revealed. You'll notice in these portions of Scripture that I have read, or we have read here tonight, mystery was in each portion of Scripture. The mystery. You see, we don't think about the mystery because we're living in the hour where the mystery has been revealed. And so we've got to understand a little bit about why it was a mystery. Paul and other writings made mention of the fact that had Satan known what was going to transpire when Christ died on Calvary, he would have never crucified the Lord of glory. But because it was a mystery, it was hidden by God. The plan was there all along from Genesis chapter number 3. The plan and the promise was given, and the plan was all along throughout the thousands of years. But the mystery was not revealed until Jesus Christ came into this world. You see, that's what I want to share tonight. I want to share about four great events of Christianity. Four great events that have brought you and I to the place we are January the 2nd, 2020. Those four great events, we have just come off one of them, Christmas. The next one is called Good Friday. And then Easter, and then Pentecost. These are the four main events of your Christian life, my Christian life. These are the four main events that bring us to that place in Christianity where God can begin to build us and use us. Without these four main events, we're going to be lacking in our Christianity. See, there's a lot of folks, I was one of them, that believe Jesus is the Savior of the world. But they have not yet experienced these great events in their lives, personally. They may have been taught about them. They may have studied about them. They may have quoted them in creeds, but they have not yet experienced them on a personal plane. And until they become a personal event in an individual's lives, then they have not yet moved into the fullness of God's plan of salvation. I was just reading some articles just the other day about Christmas. Did you know that the Christmas is actually celebrated all around the world? But not everybody that celebrates Christmas knows Jesus. Not everybody that celebrates Christmas knows what Christmas is really about. You see, that first mark of great events of Christianity, the first mark was that personal entrance of God through His Son into human life. God became flesh and dwelt among us. You'll find that in the book of John. It's not in my scriptures here tonight. But here in Matthew chapter number 1, we have the account given by Matthew in his gospel. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privily," which means privately. "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done. This is what I like about the Gospel of Matthew. He puts it in there of the reality of why this was done. "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." This is the first mark, the great events of Christianity, that you have got to believe. God became flesh. The incarnation of Jesus Christ, God becoming flesh, God becoming a human being, and that baby being born into this world. Isaiah 7:14 is the scripture that Matthew was quoting. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." And Isaiah went on to speak in chapter 9 and verse number 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." I like that. Hallelujah. That's God speaking thousands of years before it transpired, before it happened. And Matthew is saying, this all happened because of what God has said. Did you catch that his kingdom is forever? Did you catch that he's going to rule forever? Hallelujah. And he's going to bring judgment with justice. That's what this world needs. Hallelujah. And he's going to come and it's going to happen, church. Hallelujah. And we've got to believe, we've got to understand, and we've got to be prepared to share this great event with anybody we encounter and we meet in this world. Do not presume just because people speak the name of Jesus that they know what I just shared with you. Always share who Jesus Christ is. He is the Son of God. He is God that became flesh. He was born a baby. He was born in a stable, in a manger. Woo! Hallelujah! And especially as we celebrate Christmas, Everybody around us better know and understand who Jesus Christ is. And that we're celebrating Christmas not because of some pagan unconquered son, S-U-N, but because of the Son of God, the unconquered S-O-N, the unconquered Son. Now, that's just a little insight to why we celebrate Christmas on the day we celebrate it. Hallelujah. The Christians put Christ in the place of some pagan god that everybody else was celebrating and lifting up and exalting. They said, we ain't going to do that. The story I read, it was a soldier, young man. It was his turn to dress up like the pagan god. But he was a Christian. And he refused. He said, I will not do that because I serve Jesus Christ. He's the only unconquerable son. And of course, they killed him. But it stirred the hearts of believers and said, that's what we're going to do. We're going to stand up and exalt Jesus Christ at this time. That's where your Christmas came from. A lot of people put it in a negative, connotatory type of a way, but really, it was a heroic event for a young man that gave his life for Jesus Christ because he wouldn't partake in a pagan festival. And they turned around and made it an honor unto him, and it became more celebrated that way than the pagan way. Woo! Just a little history there for you. You ever wondered why? Now you know why, because it's the most great event that has ever taken place in the history of mankind. God became man. Hallelujah. He became that Lamb of God. Oh, hallelujah. And he had a goal and he had a purpose. And there's a plan. Amen. And this is the first great event that Christians believe and understand. And this is why we believe. This is why we follow Jesus Christ. Because he was God. He created all things. But yet he became a man, so he'd become the Savior of the world. And so this is why we have this Christmas time. We celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ because of who he is and what that marked in the history of mankind. Amen. That next great event, the second, marks the work of revelation, reconciliation, redemption, effected in the self-giving of Jesus in obedience to the Father. The example, total, pure example of Christianity, the self-giving of our will to the will of God. You want to see power in Christianity? You want to see power in your life? Then you take up that type of life. That willingness to give your will into the hand of God. And let God do whatever he will with you. And your life will be full of power. Hallelujah. There's just no other way. This is a great event. This is the power. Jesus Christ. This is what gave him that power to go through what he went through. He was looking through the cross to the other side. He knew what was awaiting on the other side of this self-denial. He knew what was waiting upon the other side of this sacrificing of his life and the giving of his life. He knew there was something greater on the other side than what he was experiencing here. You've got to realize Jesus Christ went about everywhere doing good and healing all manner of sick. But what he was looking for on the other side was even greater than that. Woo! Oh my, we as humanity, we look at the signs and miracles and the wonders and we think, man, there can't be anything greater than that. Oh, yes, there is. Woo, yes, there is. Hallelujah. Being right in the middle of the will of an almighty God and doing everything he asks you to do is far greater than any sign, miracle, or wonder. But when you find yourself in that position, you're going to find signs, miracles, and wonders. When you quit looking for him and just start looking for him and his will in your life, you're going to see him. You're going to see him. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so, Luke 23:44, it was about the sixth hour. And there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. The sixth hour is 12 o'clock noon. The ninth hour is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. He gave himself into the hand of God for the sacrifice of sin for all the world. In John 19, 28 through 30, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, catch that, church. He's right in the middle of his passion. He's right in the middle of suffering, pain, anguish, torture, torment, people mocking him, railing him. I mean, nothing else could go wrong, so to speak. No greater pain could be experienced than he's experiencing. But yet at this moment, after this, Jesus knowing. Wow. Knowing that all things were accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. What's going on here? Spirit of God is ruling and reigning over mere mortal flesh. Church, you got to realize the Spirit of God can help us in those times of pain, those times of anguish, those times of sorrow, to where we can have a clear mind and operate by faith. A lot of people don't understand this, can't comprehend this, can't grab this. And it's just the reality of the grace of God and the Spirit of God of what he can do when someone is yielded to him and has given themselves wholly unto him. Here he is in his right mind, knowing that he needs to say, I thirst. Now therefore was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled the sponge with vinegar, put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. See, he was in control of the whole circumstance, doing the will of the Father. His body collapsed under weakness, but his spirit and his mind were strong. He couldn't carry his own cross, but he knew what was going on, and he knew what he still needed to do. Glory. Hallelujah to our God. Glory to the King. This is why we praise him. This is why we worship him. This is why we serve him. This is why we honor him. This is why we surrender ourselves wholly unto him, because he has shown us the power that can be there for us when we're willing to surrender ourselves to him. This is the second great event that brings the washing and the cleansing. When he said it's finished, salvation, the forgiveness of sins was sanctioned, accepted. That's why the veil was rent in the temple from the top to the bottom. Signify the sacrifice had been accepted. Now man could come to God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! Hallelujah. That's just the second great event in the history of mankind that brings power into true Christianity. The third is Easter. We call it Easter. It was a resurrection morning. The third marks the victory of God through Jesus Christ over the power of sin and death. Glory. Matthew 28 and 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it. Can you picture that in your mind? Hallelujah. These ladies are coming to the tomb. They know there's a large stone rolled over it. They're wondering who's going to roll it away. And as they step up and come into that garden or to that place, all of a sudden there's an earthquake. There's glory from heaven. An angel comes, rolls that stone away, and just sits there on it, looking at him, talking to him. Wow. Glory. See, that was real. It's not just a fiction story. That is exactly how it happened. Hallelujah. That was God showing man his power over death and the grave and over sin. Hallelujah. And so we see his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. Have you ever come out on a snowy morning when it snowed about, snowed enough to cover everything up, and the sun's just coming up in the east, and you step out your door and you look out across there and you can't see because it's so white and that sun hits it, you can't see a thing. That's what they saw from this angel. Hallelujah. And notice what happened to the keepers. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, and they fainted. They became as dead men. That means they passed out, literally passed out, fainted at what they saw. Whoop. But not the ladies. Why? Because they needed to hear the message. They needed to hear the good news. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. For he is risen, as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay." Glory. Hallelujah to the Lamb. That third great event, that resurrection, shows us that God has the power of life. Hallelujah. All the way up to this point in time, death ruled and reigned over men. But now death did not rule over Jesus Christ. He's the firstborn of the resurrection, the Bible calls him. And that's why we believe in the resurrection of the body. That's why we put our loved ones in a grave, because we know there's coming a resurrection day. Hallelujah. And if my memory serves me correct, that's why we face them the way that we face them when we put them in that grave, because when that resurrection comes, they're coming right up into the sun. Woo. Glory. See, there's a whole reason why we do what we do as Christians. It's all based on God's Word and believing God's Word. Hallelujah to the Lamb. See, this is the third great event that has happened to bring Christianity to its power and bring men to salvation and bring men to the place where past sins can be forgiven and new powers brought into their lives. So now they can begin to worship God, serve God, follow God, be obedient to God. That's the whole purpose of God's plan of salvation, is to bring us the power to become obedient children. Wow. Wow. You see, this is not the end yet. And it's an awesome thing what Christ has done. It's the greatest thing the world has ever known. And it's the plan of God's salvation. And it's brought us now the reality of forgiveness of sins and resurrection power. Let's go ahead and read Luke 24 and 44. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." Praise our God. This is the third great event of Christianity that brings us to that status where we can approach God and come to God. Our sins washed away. New creature created inside of us. Resurrection power. New life. And the fourth great event. This event marks the empowering of human life in Christ with the same redeeming energy. I like the way they use that word, redeeming energy, which was at work in Christ Jesus. I like that. Energy. It means it's not dead. Energy. What happens when energy comes into something? It makes it move. It makes it work. It makes it go. Then turn off the light switch. You turned off the energy. Turn on the light switch. You turned on the energy. And the light comes on to whatever wattage it has been designed to carry. Wow. Same way with any electrical motor. You turn the key in your vehicle. When you turn that key over, you're giving DC energy to a thing called the starter. When that DC energy hits that starter, it moves that engine. When that engine moves, then gasoline or diesel is pumped into a cylinder. Energy creates combustion. The motor begins to run, and now you can drive your automobile. And the more energy you put to it, the faster it will go. A diesel motor, the more energy you put into it, the stronger it becomes. Woo! The more of the Spirit of God, the more of the energy of God that comes into us, the stronger we become. And that strength is not so we can say we're strong. That strength is then we become more usable unto God. Hallelujah. Because we're realizing that strength is not of us, it is of God. And because it is of God, we give it back to God. And God uses that energy for His purpose and His work. Wow, glory, Pentecost, that fourth great event of that energy coming in to the lives of mankind. Luke 24:49, Jesus Christ, before He ascended, said, Behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Energy, power. Acts 1:4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of Me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. You know, a lot of times we leave that portion of Scripture out when we're talking about Pentecost. But this is the same reference when John the Baptist said, there's one greater than I. I'm not worthy to untie His shoes. He's going to baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. And so Jesus said, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. See, He's fulfilling what John prophesied. And He's telling His disciples, this is what's going to happen. And then verse number 8, we always quote verse number 8, but they go together. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You see, once again, this power, this energy is not for personal consumption. It's for personal availability. It's for personal working for God. Hallelujah. It's not for just personal consumption so I can say, oh, that feels good. Don't misunderstand me. It's the greatest feeling in the whole wide world to be filled with the Spirit of God. But it's not for a personal preference or personal reason. It is for the will of God to be accomplished in my life. The power I'm going to need to accomplish the will of God. Woo! It's just like the missionary that Sister Pepper was making mention of. Said, I'm ready to give my life for my Savior. Where's that come from? That just doesn't come from a individual that's stubborn and hard-headed. It comes from the Spirit of God bringing a power that you realize you're not of this world. There's a glory awaiting. Whoa. Too many times we're earthly, too earthly minded, and not heavenly minded near enough. Hallelujah. We're in this world and it's passing away. But there's coming one that lasts forever. Hallelujah. And I guess as we get older, we realize how swiftly this world is passing away. We realize that our life is just a vapor. That means it's here for a little while, but it's being prepared for eternity. Glory, power, Pentecost, fourth great event that has brought Christianity to a place where God can now save a lost and dying world. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The power of the Spirit of God filling a vessel that has been cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, bringing forth a vessel sanctified, set apart, and ready to be used by the Master, not by self. You would be surprised how many individuals I have encountered in my 36 years of Christianity that are living a Christian life based on what they want to do instead of what God wants done. It really, really surprises me how many people are out there professing Christianity, and their Christianity is based on what they want to do, how they want to do it, and where they want to do it. And on not on, Lord, what would you have me to do? But see, that's what Pentecost truly brings. It brings a, Lord, what would you have me do? How can I serve you? How can I worship you? How can I honor you? Lord, show me, direct me, use me. Let your Spirit fill me to fulfill your will, O God. In Mark chapter 16, verse number 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. What were they doing? They were going forth and they were preaching what I just preached to you tonight. They were going forth and they were sharing about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God become flesh. And they were sharing about how he was born in a manger. They were sharing how that he was the son of David. He was an heir to the throne by the lineage of David. I didn't share all of it with you tonight, church. We'd be here all night and all day tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. Hallelujah. If I begin to share with you every scripture pertaining to the lineage of David and the fact that he's the rightful king of the throne on the earthly side. He's the king of glory on the heavenly side. Glory to our God. We've got to start putting Jesus Christ in the high, exalted level that he belongs. Hallelujah. Yes, he's the dearest friend I'll ever have, but he's a king. Hallelujah. He's God. He's the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and we got to start treating him like that. Woo, hallelujah. You going to back talk to a king? How would you act if you stood before our President Trump? How would you act? Are you going to be like a fool? You going to try to tell jokes? You're going to try to, you know, buddy, old pal? What would you do if you stepped in the room with Donald Trump? going to honor him. You're going to have reverence for him. You're going to have respect for him. Might even a little bit of sorrow for how people have been treating him. But you're not going to go in there acting goofy, acting silly, and ignoring him. So why do you come to church like that? Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. We do. Yeah, we come to church and don't pay a bit of attention to Jesus Christ sometimes. We barely even listen to the songs that are sung. Sometimes we can't even stay awake. I'm telling you, if you're sitting in a room, Donald Trump, you think you'd fall asleep? Sometimes our mind frame is not where it belongs. We're not God conscious. We may be church conscious. We may be unconscious. But we're not God conscious. We're not realizing who's in our midst. We're not realizing who we're singing to. We're not realizing who's here to help us in areas we don't even realize we need help. Whoa. Woo. The power of Pentecost. Here's one of the keys to signs following. And they went forth. Where do you go to preach Jesus? They went forth. And what did they do? They preached Jesus Christ, God become flesh. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that came, that was slain for the sins of the world. Oh, but it doesn't stop there. The third day, he rose from the grave. And he's got power over death and over sin and power. And he has the keys of the kingdom. That means he has all power in heaven and in earth. Hallelujah. And then a lot of people say, well, then why isn't he stopping all this evil that's going on? Oh, he will, if they'll let him come into their hearts. I don't know if you've ever heard it, the song or not, gospel song about people saying, where was God in this calamity? Actually, it's about school shootings, what it's about. And they're saying, where was God in the midst of this school shooting? Why did God let this happen? And the song simply reminds him, you told him to leave. And then you're going to turn around and blame him? After you told him to leave? Bear with me here. God, why is this happening to me? Did you by chance tell him to leave? Oh, we would never say, Lord, leave me. But when he asks of you and you say no, you're telling him to leave. See, this is the mystery revealed. You see, we got to understand the Spirit of God is there to empower us. But if we grieve him, we quench him, then he can't empower us. Sometimes we're asking for power, and at the same time, we're not letting him have his way. How many remember the story of Naaman? And I've got to close here tonight. How Naaman got so angry because the prophet didn't do it the way Naaman thought it ought to be done. And actually, the prophet told him to go do something that was very, very humiliating. And actually pretty yucky. I mean, let me refresh the story and I got to close. He's a leper. He's got the most severe disease of that day and that hour. And it was going to take his life at a young age. And he's told of a prophet that could heal him. Yeah. Let's go. Go. gather up the camels, gather up the horses, gather up treasures. Let's go find this man of God. And he gets there. And the man of God doesn't even come out to meet him. And then the man of God says, go wash in the River Jordan 7 times. He's already mad because he didn't come out and honor him for who he was, for his pride. Then the man of God tells him to go do something that is very humiliating and actually just kind of very not really pleasurable. I mean, stop and think about it. We have hand sanitizer right over there. And we are religious about when church service is over, go over and hit that hand sanitizer. Shake hands. Here's Naaman the leper. He's got open sores all over his body. And the prophet told him to go and dip in a bacteria-infested river. Are you getting the picture now? When this all started, he was the man of God and he had the answer. But when the answer came and it wasn't what Naaman expected, many times as your pastor told you, get preconceived ideas out of your mind. When it wasn't what he expected, he was ready to grieve the Spirit of God and quench the Spirit of God and just live with his leprosy. Praise our God. See, the mystery is being revealed. Sometimes we have the question, why? Now the mystery has been revealed. We've quenched him. We've grieved him. We told him to go away. We didn't fully embrace what he was bringing. I mean, you remember the story about the king and the arrows? How many's ever read that story and said, well, I wouldn't have done it that way, man. I would have thumped them things, shot them things. I mean, woo-hoo-hoo. Yeah, sure you would. I've been in I don't know how many church services in 36 years. And I've always watched people quench God. 36 years. For one reason or another. In every church service I've been in. I've never really been in a church service where I've seen exactly 100% submission to the Spirit of God. There's always somebody who doesn't think they need what God's doing today. You know what I've purposed in my mind, in my heart many years ago? Whatever God's doing today, I need it. I need it. I need it. If there's something that needs to be done in my life, God's going to do it if I'll draw nigh to Him. And so if someone else is drawing nigh to God, which is going to bring God moving in the midst of the house of God, then why don't I just get right up there and draw nigh with them? Woo! Even if I don't have a need. You'll find out as you begin to draw nigh to God, you've got a bunch of needs. Your biggest one is you didn't think you had one. Woo! Hello! Glory to God. Because all that is pride. Everybody's got a need. Hallelujah. We may not know what it is, but God does. And then that's why He comes by to reveal it unto us. But if we just watch Him walk by, that was a good move of God. The mystery revealed. And the Lord of Lords, it's not a mystery anymore, church. He's ready to reveal all of His kingdom. He's ready to not withhold any good gift from His children. Hallelujah. If they'll just ask of Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Pepper, Sister Lindsay, whoever's coming to the piano, come on back here so maybe I'll hush up. But there's just so much flowing, my heart and my soul here tonight, of the goodness of our God. And the year 2019's come and gone. And I, from a pastor's standpoint, I could stand up here and do backflips and jump up and down, because I have seen so many victories wrought in this house. I've seen God do so many things in this house. I've seen bodies healed in this house. I've seen new people come into this house. I've seen God do some of the greatest things He's ever done in this house this year. Hallelujah. But we forget. We just forget, because we're faced with today, and we're fighting the fight today. Whoo, my. But if we'll stop and begin to think and meditate of the victories God's wrought in our lives, because the mystery was revealed, if you will, because we finally saw through the eyes of Christ, and we responded with faith and obedience and allegiance. We finally saw our needs, and they were met. Whew, the mystery was revealed. You see, church, we got to go forth. And we got to go forth ready, sharing these truths. Because you cannot take it for granted that everybody knows what I just shared with you here tonight. I can't take it for granted that you know everything I shared with you here tonight. Even though you may have been saved longer than I have, I can't take it for granted you know these things. Why? Because we forget these things. They become obsolete things in our minds. It's not that we haven't learned these things. It's just they're not fresh on our minds with the reality. This is what the world needs to know. Who Jesus is. Hallelujah. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. He's not a homosexual. Yeah, they got movies out depicting Jesus as a homosexual. They do that now. It's blasphemy. That's not who He is. He's the Son of God that was without sin, and He died in our place. He died for our sins. He died where I should have been on that cross. He took my place. Woo, hallelujah. That's enough for me to serve Him and to give Him all my life, all my soul, all my strength. Strength. You want more strength in your body? Then give more to Him. That's how you get more. That's just the way it works. I mean, if you don't exercise, you have no strength. So if I want to have more strength in God, I'm going to have to give more unto God. Woo! Hallelujah! Of my mind, of my heart, of my soul, my joy. My joy is really not for me, even though I enjoy it. Woo! You know why God gives us so much joy? Because you can't help but worship when you're full of joy. You can't help but lift your hands. You can't help but laugh. You can't help but be energized when you're full of joy. And so God, in His grace and in His mercy, fills us with joy so that He can hear our praise, our worship, our thanksgiving, our excitement, our energy. Hallelujah. He fills us with the Spirit of God so that we can worship, we can serve, we can honor, we can exalt, we can go forth. Let's stand. God of heaven, hallelujah. God of heaven, we praise Your holy name. God, we thank You, Lord God, for the mercies that are renewed every morning. We thank You, Lord, that Your word is forever settled in heaven. Lord, You have given it unto us, Lord, on this earth. Hallelujah. Lord, that we might worship You in spirit and in truth, O God. That we might grow in grace and knowledge. Lord, that we might be vessels sanctified, filled with the Spirit of God. That we can go forth. We can go forth and share and reveal the mystery of an almighty God.
shalabakuta bokia rabo shalavariandalabake. Muria bashalavariabake. Nalavoro bakia robo shalabake. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh God of heaven, we worship you. Lord, we thank you. We rejoice, oh God, Lord, in what you are doing in our lives. Lord, how you're renewing our minds. Lord, God, in our hearts. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, more like Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. These altars are open tonight. I invite you to come. Find you a place to worship. Find you a place to engage. Hallelujah. With your God, with your Savior, through the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.